All right, fantastic. Hey, if you got a Bible this morning, or you can go online at your app, the little app thing with that, you know what I'm talking about. But Colossians chapter 3 today, all right? Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Starting a new series today, obviously, as you've just seen here on the screen. And this is one that's interesting. This year, as kind of just put this year together and take a look, we started with kind of end times, you know, and started the year in January with looking at end times and things that are yet to come. In fact, I'm going to do a little bit more of that over the summertime. We're going to kind of go through the book of Daniel in the summertime, so looking forward to that. And then we went to an unstoppable series, kind of who we're supposed to be as a church. And then the last couple of weeks, we looked at Easter, right, and the cross and Easter and those different things. We had a great couple of weeks there with around the Easter time, and just a wonderful service, and got so much great response from what people are learning, how they're growing. Those things are a thrill to me. And today is going to be different. All right, the next few weeks are going to be different. But my bet is you've never heard a series on work. All right, you've never heard a series about this. But I cannot tell you how important that is. I mean, somebody was joking with me and said, we let it be known what we were going to talk about. He says, he said, work. I said, why would I want to hear a series on that? All right. And I understand that thought. Okay. But here's the other picture is that when you take a look at your life as a whole, you spend the majority of your life at work. Okay, the majority, and so for some of us, the greater majority. And so, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean by the majority? Well, when you cut it all down, you're gonna sleep, 50 to 60 hours a week, and when you add up all of work, when you add up commute, when you add up everything that you have to do when you're there, and then commute back, and then all of the effort it takes to buy clothes, to do everything it is that's centered around this thing called work. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about it. And when we look at it, so many times people look at their work as a necessary evil, right? It's something that I do, that I have to, I don't really like it. This is kind of how, I have to, this is how I pay the bills, how I feed the kids, whatever. But when you take a look at this particular picture, there's a powerful teaching in the scriptures about this. In fact, it all kicks off here in Colossians. When you take a look at this, we're going to look at it for several weeks. And as I get going, as I talk about those things, let me go ahead and tell you who I'm talking to. Okay, I'm talking to work. Those that anything that's work, it doesn't matter if you get paid for it or not, it's still work. There are students. There are many students in the room. Therefore, those of you that obviously are in school. Okay, and there's a work type concept that goes into obviously school, preparation for school. So I'm talking to students. Okay, I'm talking to people who work a 40-hour plus 60, 70-hour work week, and that you work in some sort of a field, whether it's in an office, whether it's outside, whether wherever it is, I'm talking to you. I'm also talking to stay-at-home parents, right? And those that are at home. Again, there's this great picture of what is it that I do. Okay, and how is it that I do it? And so when you look across the board at who and what this represents, I want you to see some incredible eye-opening type things in this concept. Our culture has tried so hard to get you, if you're a believer here today. Now, if you're not a believer here today, that's a different ballgame. But if you're a believer here today, our culture has tried so hard to get you to separate your work life with your spiritual life. I mean, our world has tried so hard to get you to separate that. Why do you think they want you to separate that? I believe it to be because it is one of the biggest impacts you can have in your life. Okay? It is one of the key areas that has the most impact in your life because you spend so much time doing it. And if you can separate your life as a believer from your work life, if you separate those two, then you will never ever be effective in God's hands in doing what He does. Because I believe with all of my heart that the greatest mission field, okay, we talk about missions quite a bit at our church, but the greatest mission field in our country is the workplace. By far. I mean, it's not even close. The biggest mission field is the workplace. Now, when I say workplace, if you're a student, I'm talking about where you go to school. Okay? If you are a stay-at-home parent, I'm talking about, obviously, your children, and I'm talking about those in your neighborhood and the things that you're a part of and the things you volunteer to do. I'm talking about those of you, there may be a handful of you in here that are retired. Okay? When I shared this, I said, hey, look, we're going to do a series on work. And I said, oh, I don't need to hear that. I'm retired. You don't understand. Okay? You don't understand. You never retire from serving Christ if you're a believer. Never retire. And now in our world gets this. In fact, you were created to work. You were created that way. Listen to me. Work is not a, it's like I said before, it's not a four-letter word. It is a four-letter word, but it's not a four-letter word. Work is something you are created to do. And there is so much to who you are with the way that you work. Therefore, laziness is a perversion of a God-given desire to work. It just is. Right? And so when you look at this particular thought, most time people think, well, you know, work was all part of the curse. You know, when sin entered the world, well, then work entered the world. No. It's the exact opposite. Take a look at, you don't have to look, just look at the screens. Take a look at Genesis chapter 2 and just at the screens. And take a look at verse 8. And I want you to go all the way back before sin entered the world. And I want you to see part of God's plan here that's very important for you to see and understand. Right? It says the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. Okay? And there he put man whom he created or whom he'd formed. Okay? And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So there was this just natural growth that God himself put together. This is so much we can talk about here, but I've got one specific point I'm wanting you to see. Look at verse 15. Skip down to 15 now. All right? And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden, here we go, to work it and to keep it. To work it and to keep it, to work it and to keep it. In other words, it was part from the very beginning that God innately put inside of us, okay, a desire to work. Imagine, though, working in a utopic type atmosphere to where there's no thorns, no thistles, right, where there's no decay. And you know, work becomes a joy, right? There's no frustrations. Okay, think about all those things. But when sin entered the world, it obviously everything fell, and then the great struggles began, the frustrations began, thorns and thistles began to grow, kind of a thing. And so it becomes that too, along with dealing with everything else. But here's what I want you to see. There's something about working, something about doing those things that is innately very important to how we do it. And so I want you to see that. I want you to see that picture, but I also want you to see today, okay? Today, as we talk about, and the thing that I'm so thrilled about this series is that it affects every person in the room. There is nobody in this room that this doesn't affect. Because I'm here to tell you that whether obviously you're retired or whether you're a student just beginning, these are concepts. And it's about perspective. It's about how you look at something. Hey, it's about God's perspective, what the scriptures teach about it. And I'm going to spend a little bit more time kind of an intro picture. And then at the very end, we'll put some verses together that I think are going to make a big difference. But when you try to separate these two, the spiritual life from your work life, like our world wants you to, then you totally miss out on being effective in our country's greatest mission field. It's just the truth. Right, so let's take a look at this. Okay? Let's take a look at this. This is real important. So when you think about ministry, okay, when you think about ministry, being in the ministry, okay, more likely you think about what I do or some of our other pastors or some of our other staff or people that do different things, they work in the ministry. Okay, I want you to understand that if you're a believer here today, you are in the ministry. Your work is, your workplace is your ministry. I can't tell you. I mean, people, that's why I try to do some of the things that I do and around here we try to do. Because I don't want there to be a separation between what you do and what I do. In fact, to be honest with you, you have much more opportunities to reach out to people that don't know Christ than I do. Okay? You just do because you're around them all the time. Some of you would look at me and say, Jeff, you have no idea. You have no idea the workplace I work in. You have no idea the boss I have to answer to. He or she are, they're just absolutely profane, godless, and just filthy. I said, I understand that. I've already heard those things. In fact, I got emails before we started the series just by announcing it. Okay? Because people look at where they work and think, oh, this place is hopeless. But when you look at that, I want you to understand, have you ever thought that the place that you work, God has you there? I just want you to think about it a minute. It's so easy to get more, I wish I could get out of here and either work for a Christian company or work in the ministry. No. You're in the ministry. And as long as God has you where you are right now, that is your ministry. God has led you there. But Jeff, you don't know what I do. I said, it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to find out in a minute. What you do is immaterial. I don't care if you lead the biggest company, okay, in the county, okay, or you're just a common ordinary worker. It makes no difference to God. What makes a difference to him is he has you where he has you, and are you going to be a light where you are? I told some of you, I had an interesting conversation with my son. In fact, I took a few days off this past week and went and spent some time with him. But I remember when he graduated from the school that's here at the church, and when he went to a secular college. And he knew the world's pretty dark, but he just didn't know how dark it was. And I tried to prepare him, but y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a dark place out there, right? In fact, sometimes we get together. That's why I tell you what, do not, as the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling together of ourselves together, because you need each other. If you work out in that all week, you need a place where you can be with people. When you skip it, you'd be amazed the impact it's going to have. But that's another message, right? But I was talking with him, and when he went up for his freshman year, okay, and again, just a kind of more of an academic school, but it was an eye opener for him, okay, because he and his mother, my wife, we don't talk like that, right? And he said, Dad, he said, I bet half the freshman class came in drunk last night. I said, well, but I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised it was only half. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's just the way it is. And I said, but let me tell you this. Don't be judgmental of them. He says, lost people acting like lost people. Does that make sense? Let me tell you something. You just be a light. That's all you can be. Just be a light. I said, don't try to be a light. Just be a light. Does that make sense? Don't go in there and swinging and everybody about, you know, you. No. You just go be a light. You be who God's called you to be, and you'll be amazed how God used you. And it's been amazing how God's used him. Small ways at first, but then it grows as, you know, as you're being able to see in a place like that. So I use that illustration for you to understand. I don't know where it is you work, and I don't know how frustrating it can be sometimes. And I don't know to where you're that, you know, I've already heard stories even from last night. This is really this little message that we're talking about today that I finished. It will bring up a whole lot of questions in your brain. It will help you to rethink how you look at what you do. The great question is, do you have joy in what you do? And most would say, absolutely not. The question is, why? Do you believe God has you there? Well, obviously he has you there because he hasn't moved you yet. You tried to move 1,000 times, but it just hadn't happened. So obviously you're where you're supposed to be. Maybe not where you want to be, but that's immaterial, right? I found out reading the scriptures is that a lot of people in the scriptures weren't where they wanted to be, but they were where God had them. And therefore, my former pastor used to say, babe, bloom where you planted. You know, if you have to be in the desert for a while, then just go ahead and bloom there while you're there. And then pray that the time will be short. All right? But if he leaves you there for a while, then be who he's called you to be while you're there. I'm here to tell you, and I want you to hear my heart here, because I believe what I'm about to tell you, I believe it with all of my heart. Okay? I believe that as a believer, you and I, that we're all in the ministry. Okay? I believe that if you are a believer, you are in the ministry. And it's so amazing. That's why around here, let me tell you this. That's why around here, you don't hear me called, you know, being referred to as Reverend. Reverend. Gosh, I'm no more reverent than the rest of you, right? Reverend, you know, or very reverend, or most reverend, or holy reverend, or whatever those. Why? Listen. Those are titles that separates what you do from what I do. And I don't want there to ever be a separation. Does that make sense to you? I'm hoping you're hearing me. I don't want you to see that what I do is any different than what you do. It's the gifts and abilities and the opportunities that God has put me in because of teaching and other things like that. And yes, I understand the passion. And again, I don't want you to call, doctor, please don't call me doctor. All right, please don't do that. That's why most of you don't even know I have that. I don't want there to be any distinction between you and I. I don't, pastor is a scriptural word that just means, okay, set aside to lead and other things like that. Okay, I'm fine with that. If you want to call me something other than Jeff, just call me pastor. That'd be great. But I don't want there be, why? Because you, as a believer, are in the ministry as much as I am. Wherever God has you planted right now, you know, out front we have a live sent. And basically you see this big poster and it has the home addresses of everybody who's a member of our church, all right? You take a look at it, it's pretty amazing. What I would like to do next, it just would be an impossible job, is to put a little dot where all of us work. And you would watch it expand over the county, right? Because in reality, yes, we are to be a light in our neighborhoods. But the greatest ministry that we have is just the workplace. And see, so what happens, I believe this is part of the enemy's work. If he can ever get you to separate your work life from your life as a believer, he's just stolen from you your greatest area of potential impact. Right? Therefore, boy, I wish, you know, and when I hear sometimes people will say, and I understand this, because the faulty perspective that we can have, and again, sometimes it's not even our fault, but I understand this that people say, well, I'm thinking about, you know, quitting my job and going into the ministry. Okay, now listen to me. You already are in the ministry. I'm going to say that at least 25 times over the next few weeks. I want you to pick up on that. To look at the place where you work. So, well, Jeff, it's hard. I know. I've talked with missionaries that work in hard places. Right? DJ, we talk to these people, and they go into places to where, I mean, you're talking their own lives are at stake sometimes of trying to take the gospel into a people group that's a pretty rough place to go. I look at that as no different than where you were working if you're working in a rough place. So, well, Jeff, I just don't see that it's possible to have an impact. I understand that. It may not be possible, but we work for a God who does the impossible, right? You never know what he's going to do. You never know how he's going to do it. You haven't been asked to make the impact. You've just been asked to be the light and then let him use you. But have you ever seen the people at your work? The ones that irritate you the most. And I know none of you have that, but a lot of other people out there irritate. You can be irritating, right? And so you'd be amazed what happens. You start praying for them. You start seeing them as your responsibility because God has you planted where you are. And you start seeing things differently like that. This workplace picture. I don't know. This is an amazing concept. I'm so looking forward to the next few weeks to talk to you about these things and let you see. And make sure that in the workplace as a believer, one of the great tendencies, okay, is to just pull away from everybody and just put in my time and leave as quick as I can. All right? I understand that. Or basically what I do is that I work through the week to give myself the opportunity to then volunteer time at the church, volunteer, you know, doing at the church, so I can do a little bit of ministry. It's just such a joy. I understand. But don't throw away most of your life saying, well, that doesn't matter. Or those people are godless down there. God's called us to the godless, has he not? But boy, they're not really attractive sometimes. I understand. It's like my son giving me the call. Dad, you're not going to believe. Oh, yeah, I believe. Oh, yeah, no, I understand. I do. But that's who God's called you to be. It's where you are. It's who God's called you to pray for. It's who God's called you to be a difference where you are. Right? I don't know. It's such a simple concept, but it's so easy to miss. Because there's been nobody in the room that hadn't been frustrated. At work, wherever you are, then a person in the room. Guarantee you there isn't a person in the room. Right? I know you may find this as a shock. But there have been times I've been frustrated in my job. I know you're shocked. All right? You're always going to have frustrations no matter where you are. The question is, does God have you there? Obviously he does. And as you see it as your mission. Okay? You see it as your mission. You know, I'm going to kind of walk through a couple of things just for you to see, because I want you to see that also with us is that we need to see how we work too is important. Let me give you some for instances here. I'm eventually going to get this outline, but I wanted to share with you a lot of these things first so that when we read Colossians, I think it's going to come alive to you after we've talked about some of these things, right? All right? So when you begin to think, okay, what is the good life, right? What are goals? When you think of work, what do you think of? You know, if I can just get to retirement, all right? If we can just get there. I'm 24, but if I can just get to retirement, all right? And if I can have enough money to where I don't have to work anymore. Okay, you've got a faulty strategy. Okay? You got one from the very beginning. It's not God who God's called us to be. You see, we have this picture of a hammock. And then a little drink with a little umbrella in it. Right? We have this picture of that if I could just do that and not have to work, that would be awesome. I'm here to tell you, it is the recipe for downfall for so many. That is not who God's called you to be, if you're his. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. Every once in a while, you need perhaps a week where you're in the hammock. I am a big proponent. One of the messages we're going to talk about is God's design for rest. I believe that to be one of the greatest struggles that people have. God's design for rest. That's part of work too. We're going to talk about that when we get a little bit later in this series. But when you think about that, I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you personally, I don't know about you, but once I take some time off, if I can't go and start being and doing something useful, how I see myself is a lot different. Does that make sense? Therefore, as a believer, there's something about the work that he's called us to do, okay? And the joy we have in him, not most so much the joy we have in our work, but the joy that we have in him. And so much of the problem is with the culture today is that so many people struggle with purpose. All right, look at me. Purpose. A lot of times people can't get motivated to do the work, to do the job that they do because there's no purpose to it. You know, you have somebody that says, well, you know, Jeff, I sell widgets, you know, or I fix pipes, you know, when they break for people. I whatever, whatever, whatever. And to be honest with you, when it comes to the end of the day, I don't see that I've made a huge impact, really. All right, listen to me. Do you see who you work for? Look at me. That's the title today, right? And we've said all that we've said to get to this point. Who do you work for? Because who you work for will determine how you see your job and how hard you work. Okay? If you work for this person you can't stand, I can guarantee your productivity is going to be low. Right? If you work for an egotistical jerk, it's real hard to get motivated to give your best. Amen, hallelujah. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? All right, now listen to me. Okay? But if you work for Jesus, if you work for him, then that's the motivation and purpose that helps you rise above all that. Does that make sense? Okay, good. You got it. All right, good. I like it when you do that every once in a while. Let me know that you got it. I can't tell you how much I want you to get this over the weeks. I can't tell you to add joy to your entire life. Not just, oh, let me get the 10 hours a day in so that, you know, I can go have a couple hours on the weekend to do ministry. No, you are in the ministry. I'm going to say that 25 more times at least. I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. Because that is why the workforce in our country is so dismal. 50% of those in management jobs are dissatisfied. 80% of the workforce are dissatisfied with who they are. Productivity is so low. Listen to this. And now I want you to think about this concept. 20% of the workforce. 20%. You know what that means? That means one out of every five people who has a job. Okay? Productivity would actually go up if they called in sick. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? In fact, you know them. Where you work, think about those handful of people. Yeah, boy, if they called in sick, we could sure get a lot more done today. Okay? I want you to see that is not acceptable among believers. Because that is not your testimony. That is not who you've been called to do or to be. That is not the light that you're to present. If you see your employment, whether you, in fact, later on, we're going to, those who are employers, the scripture has a lot to say to you. If you manage people, if you're in charge of people, the Bible has a lot to say for you and the responsibility you have as a believer to manage people. If you are a worker that works for somebody, then the Bible has a lot to say to you. And so we're going to talk about these things through the week because I want you to understand, for those of you who have ears to hear and those of you that want to know and say, God, I want more than anything for God to use me or a work. I just don't see how he can do it. You'd be amazed what he can do when you begin to see it the way he wants you to see it, according to truth of the scriptures. So let me tell you this. This is interesting, too. Now, this is an old book. Gosh, this is probably 25 years old now. But a guy by the name of Spencer Johnson, you remember? He's the guy that wrote Who Moved My Cheese? Y'all remember that one? If you don't know it, it's not that big a deal. But it was a pretty cool concept at its time. But it's an old It's old now. It's kind of not really outdated, but it's older. But he made a quote that he shared a quote that I want you to hear. This is what he said. Listen to this. He quotes, "He believes that research one day will show that the only lasting motivation will come from an employees who bring it to work with them." So only lasting motivation and productivity is somebody's going to have to bring it to work with them. We'll see what else he says. "Who bring it to work with them in the form of God's spirituality or something else that causes them to rise to a higher purpose." Did you hear what he was saying? In other words, the reason he's saying that, it was in its context, was that the motivational seminars, you know, that you have to sit through, have become a total wash and a total waste of time. It fires everybody up for a handful of days, perhaps even a few weeks, but then afterwards it's done. My brother, who works for a big company, says if I get one more email or video mail about spreading my wings and jumping into the valley, he says I'm going to throw up. All right? Why? Because if you can't find, sorry about that, some of you may be motivational speakers, but remember this, all right? But remember this, I'm here to tell you, you bring it to work with you because it's who you are. Okay? Not just an emotional stirring of trying to get fired up, but it's who you are. I remember that all of my life in employment, you know, I mean, look at me. They always say, well, yeah, put him in the back, unload the trucks, you know, or pick up heavy stuff. I've done that all my life, you know, until doing now what I do. But first job was unloading trucks at a department store, okay? Then I got a job installing pools, right, construction in the summers mainly, right? And then another time, after I became a believer, I hadn't been a believer very long, I got a job unloading trucks at, y'all remember the old trucking company? It merged several times since then, but it was called Campbell 66. It had the big camel on the side, if y'all remember. But I worked two graveyard shifts a week. And what you would do is the trucks would come in, you would unload them, put them on the dock area, and then you would load them back onto other trucks for them to carry off in the morning. It was hard work. It was whatever. But I remember I was a believer then. Now I was so excited about my faith. I'd only probably been a believer for 6-8 months. I don't know. And I was so excited about my faith. And of course, it was a rougher group of guys, right? Down at the graveyard shift at the truck dock. And you got the picture. And so here was this kid, you know, 21, 20 whatever. And, you know, and I'm working as hard as I can, you know, I'm seeing how many trucks I can unload. And of course they didn't like that. And, I mean, isn't that amazing to come under scrutiny when you work hard? But anyway, we were sitting in the break room, and, you know, because they found, I didn't use the language everybody else used. I just didn't do that anymore. God set me free from all that, you know. I didn't have to act tough. I didn't have to try to intimidate. I didn't have to be angry. I didn't have to say the things that everybody else said. Why? Because, I mean, I was so filled with the newness that God brought into my life. I obviously stuck out. I wasn't trying to stick out. I just stuck out. And so I remember in the break room one time, and they asked me, "Yo, Jeff, what is it about you?" And I just thought, you know, again, I hadn't been trained in EE. I hadn't been trained to share my faith. I didn't know anything better but to say, well, I suppose it's because, you know, I became a Christian, you know, about a year ago, 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And the whole room changed. See, I wasn't used to that. I didn't know any better at the time, but the whole room changed. In fact, there were even a handful of them that said, well, I'm a Christian too. And I kind of looked and I said, really? Let me ask you a question. If the people at your employment found out you were a believer, would they be stunned? You? It's a good question to ask yourself. I'm not trying to put guilt trip anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, hey, listen, if you're going to be a light, be a light. But if you're not, then don't tell anybody you're a believer. Does that make sense? Because when a couple of those guys said it, everybody turned around and looked, and it was obvious that that's not who they were. Interesting. So as you take a look, again, I remember, you know, so many people have had such impact at their workplace. I just began, as I began putting time into the series, I remember another job I had in college, really when I was beginning of seminary. I worked on the ramp at the airport. Okay? I was the guy with the colored sticks or the flashlights. You know what I'm talking about? Parking the planes. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. All right. But the biggest job that you have is, guess what? You load and unload bags. Of course. Look at me. That's the only job I could ever get, lifting heavy stuff. Now, by the way, if you want to know what really happens on the ramp of an airplane, if I were you, I would buy steel cage luggage if you really knew how your luggage was treated. But anyway, but I remember being on the ramp there and working. I was a believer at the time. I was a little longer. And in fact, after the trucking company and when I went to seminary, I knew I couldn't work graveyards anymore. So I got this job at the airport and I learned all of the things. And then I went to work. And again, it's a workplace. It's a workplace. And I remember I bumped into a guy because I worked at Republic Airlines, which eventually merged with the Northwest, I believe. But this has been obviously a few years ago. And I remember talking, right? I remember talking with just different people. I mean, I didn't stand up in the break room and preach to everybody. I didn't know enough anyway. I just knew that God had changed my life and I was excited, right? And boy, there was profane people at the truck company, but there are a lot of profane people on that ramp of that airline. So, and some of the things they would say and some of the things they said they would do. And I, you know, just, okay, well, whatever, whatever. And I just kept doing what I was supposed to do. But then I bumped into a believer who went to the church I went to there in Tennessee. And I saw him. And we began talking. And he was what we call a gate leader or a gate champion or a gate whatever, a gate manager. In other words, he was in charge of the whole gate. And he had a team of guys who loaded, unloaded, did different things, filled up the airline. Anyway, he was kind of the leader of it. And you were assigned every day to a gate leader. And so, I was sitting before work got started, and I looked over at him. We were just talking. I loved talking to him about my faith because his faith was important to him. And I just look back on him and think to myself, you know, he was in the ministry and he knew it. And because he would talk to me, and then he said, hey, who are you assigned to today? And I said, oh, I've got so-and-so. I said, my gosh, that guy is a hateful, profane guy. He said, yeah. He said, Jeff, let me tell you. He says, I've had conversations with him. And he began to share with me his heartbeat and his compassion for this guy. Not hatred because he was so profane, but because he'd taken the time to know him, and he'd taken the time to really care for him and pray for him. And it's amazing, too, that whenever that guy, he was having, anytime you live that way, you're going to have a crisis-filled life. It was amazing how he always came to this guy when he'd have a crisis. I never know what happened, but I remember that guy was a light. He saw his job, even though he loaded and unloaded airplanes, he saw his job, okay, as a ministry. It becomes a mindset of a believer. The mindset of a believer. I have to close, but I'm going to get to the outline now. But I ask you this question. If you're not a believer here today, or this is foreign to you, I'm not really talking to you. But if you're a believer here today, this may be the first time you've even heard this concept. In fact, you look forward to the day that you can retire and be a part of different ministries. Remember, you already are. And I don't want you, now that we've talked about everything we've talked about, look at Colossians chapter 3 in verse 23. There's only two or three verses. And yet there's enough here now that what we've talked about, just listen to what this verse says. Okay. Take a look at verse 23. Chapter 3 and verse 23 says this. Whatever you do, work heartily. As for the Lord and not for men. Okay? Words ringing true after what we've talked about? Work heartily. Work at it with all your might. Okay? Continue to read. and not from men, knowing that your Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Look what it says here. You are serving the Lord Christ. Okay? All right. Now, number one, whatever you do, take a look back at 23. What does it say there? Whatever you do. That was original with me, right? The first point. In other words, that shows me, that right there, whatever you do, shows me that what you do is irrelevant. It does not matter if you drive a bus. It does not matter if you dig a ditch. And it does not matter if you do open heart surgery. And by the way, we have all those in our church. So it doesn't matter what you do in God's perspective. Listen to this. God is not nearly impressed. He's not at all impressed with your pay, with your position, or with what power you might have. Not at all impressed. All what he's concerned about is, are you serving him at your workplace? Whatever it is that you do. You got it? There's nothing unimportant here. Your purpose doesn't come from what you do. Your purpose comes from whom you serve. Oh, I just so hope you can get it. We'll talk about it more through the weeks. All right? So number one, whatever you do. Number two, work at it with all your heart. Give it your best. I mean, whatever. If you're in school, okay, you may hate calculus. All right? But give it your best. Give it your best. You may can't stand what you do, but God has you there at least for now. Do your best. Do your best. In fact, I believe, listen to me, for the believer, less than your best is not acceptable. Because God gave his best for you. We talked about that last week, right? If he gave his best for you, then we should give our best for him. Why? Because that's who we serve. Right? That's who we serve. That's number three. It's Christ, the one. He's the one you're working for. That comes from the title. Who do you work for? Right? Whatever you do, work heartily. Ask for the Lord. Look at the very last part of it. You are serving Christ. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do, serve Christ. Right? Serve Christ. Less acceptable is then your best is not acceptable. Okay? Greatest mission field then in our country is the workplace. All right? But when you think about this particular piece, and I want you to hear my heart here, because some of us may be guilty of this. But when all you can think about is doing as little as you can to get by, right? When most of your time is spent dodging work as opposed to doing it, that is not who you've been called to be. That is not giving your best. Does that make sense? And listen to me. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. All right? I understand what you mean. All right? Let's do it. Why? Well, I hate what I do. Doesn't matter what you do. When you love the person you work for, it motivates you to give your best. And maybe you've got your eyes off Christ and on your boss. And I can maybe understand why you've lost motivation. Right? But don't get your eyes on your boss. Get your eyes on Christ. Why? Because that's who you work for. If you're a believer, it'll change your perspective. Don't be the griper and the complainer. Right? Don't be the griper and the complainer. Why? Because you work for him. You work for him. Now, you can pray and say, Lord, I would love it if you would let me work somewhere else. Scripture says, bring your request to him, right? Bring it to him. Tell him about it. But if he still has you there, then you keep giving your best. Because that's what he gave for you. Number four. All right, number four says that your reward comes from him. Okay, your reward comes from him. So again, whatever it is you do, I've used this before, but in one of Ruth Graham's books, you know, Ruth Graham was a stay-at-home parrot, Billy Graham's wife. And had many kids, many of which whom you've heard about today. But as all the kids were growing up, she had a little sign up above her sink. I've told a lot of you this. It says, worship services held three times daily. Here, three times daily. So she saw washing the dishes as worship because she was serving her children. Does that make sense? It's a perspective. It's a perspective thing. Therefore, I'm here to tell you, washing the dishes, especially if you've done it 1,000 times, can be the worst job there is. I just don't like it. Okay? All right? I don't think anybody loves it. But when you got purpose behind it, you can wash a dish if you know it's serving the Lord. God, if this is what you called me to do, then I'm going to do as best I can. I'm doing the best I can. That's why this guy, this author who moved my cheese says, I doubt that there's any lasting motivation that's going to happen unless the worker brings it to work with them. Amazing, amazing. I've got to close. Let me throw some things at you for you to think about. All right? This is how I will close. I promise. All right? We've got more weeks to talk about this. I'm looking forward to it. But I call these things to learn. These are just really, I would call them today, things to think about. Just to put into your brain. Because imagine if this turned around in your life and you started having joy in your work. Think about how that changed who you are and everything about you and everything around you. Amazing. Number one, what you do and where you work is not near as important as how you do it. As I've already told you, our position, power, and pay does not impress who God is. He's put you where he has you. All right. And do you see that you're serving him, which is what another one of these is. Number two, how you perform at work is just as important as how you behave at work. Do you hear that? Look at me. I've heard believers say, well, yes, there's so much prophetic in my work, but I don't use profanity at all. Okay, yeah, but you're lazy too. All right, put that back up there. Now I think you understand what I'm saying. How you perform at work is just as important as how you behave. Does that make sense? Therefore, one of the greatest testimonies you can have, yes, is to behave well. That is to let Christ live. And I'm not going to lie, cheat, steal, all those things. We'll talk about that in weeks to come. But do you work hard? And not just when you're being watched over. And believe it or not, the people around you notice. Everybody notices. Therefore, don't tout your integrity if you can't be counted on to work hard, right? I just think it's part of who we are, right? Number three, putting your heart into your work allows God to bless your work. Isn't that interesting? Putting your heart into work allows God to bless your work. And number four is a question. This is the end. It's just kind of a question for you to think about. What would I, if you're a believer here today, now if you're not a believer, then after our service, we're just about done. If you'd like to know what it means to be, if you want purpose and a point in every area of your life, not just this one. If you want purpose in your life as in whole, not just work, but in your marriage, in your children, in a lot of the areas, you want purpose point just for life itself. I'm here to tell you, it's found in Christ. It's found in the Creator who created you. There'd be some pastors up here afterwards that love to talk to you. But here's a question, and it's mainly directed toward those of you that are believers today. Right? What would I have to change in my life right now? What would I have to change if tomorrow I started putting all my heart into my work? Right? What would I have to change? Not because of anything else other than what we've understood today. All right, good deal. Let's all stand. We'll have a closing word of prayer. All right, Tim, come out and close us. Hey, good to see you today, and looking forward to the next weeks as we keep looking at these things and saying, Lord, let me see this the way you want me to see it. Again, God bless you. If you have some questions about what it means to be a believer, there'll be some pastors up here after the service. There's also booklets. By the way, there's these booklets. There were a whole bunch of them that went out last weekend. All right. But if you'd like to, don't want to talk to anybody, but take something with you and grab one of these on your way out. But God bless you guys. Tim, why don't you close this?
Thanks, Pat.